Howdy, folks, and welcome to the April 27th edition of Dead Pit Radio. I'm Uncle
Creepy. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian. How's everybody doing out there? Has everybody missed Dead Pit?
I'm doing all right. We're getting ready to put the ass back in bluegrass on there.
That's right. I was actually, T-Shirt Joe was messaging me. And it's like, when the fuck are you guys coming back? I'm sick of listening to all these shitty-ass podcasts. I want to listen to the Ballers and Shot Callers the whole fucking game. Well, we're back this week.
Yeah, and you should be sick of listening to them because all the rest of them suck dick.
They really do. And you know who you are out there. You're probably listening to us. You're like, hey, holy shit. Yeah. I want to be like Dead Pit.
Yeah. Chances are you probably had that thought at some point.
But there can be only one, folks.
It's like the Highlander.
We are the thrillbillies of the horror talk game.
And I was telling him earlier, as we're doing this show now, and I'm only running on about 2 hours sleep for about 36 hours, this could be the show where we possibly get sued, because we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff, and I don't even give a fuck. Like, I'm so tired, I'm going to run down all kinds of people.
Yeah. We're going to talk about it all this week. We're talking about the state of the genre address, where we're going through the current state of the horror genre, what's happening, what should be happening, and, you know, we're going to go through it all here a little bit. And it's going to be like kind of an abbreviated show, because poor Uncle Bill over there needs to go to bed. He's already got his pajamas on. He's just wanting to talk horror for a little
I got like the onesie pajamas on with the feet in them and everything.
Yeah. Just wanting to talk horror for a little bit. We will see you guys here in a couple more weeks.
One of my favorite things, though, about talking about the state of the genre, especially this time around, too, is going to be talking about, like, what shouldn't be happening, which there are several things that should not exist that do, and I can't wait to get into that.
I agree with you. But we're going to have one review. We actually took a look at the new Blu-ray release from Horizon Movies, believe it or not, yeah. And they claimed that this was Wes Craven's horror classic on the front, which is hilarious as hell.
Yep. It is a classic.
The Hills Have Eyes Part 2. This is the original Hills Have Eyes Part 2 from 1985, not the one they actually did. There's two Hills Have Eyes Part 2s.
What kind of world do we live in where there's two Hills Have Eyes Part 2s?
Very strange world. We have news to get to. Talking about some upcoming DVDs and Blu-rays and convention this weekend. We're going to be talking about that a little bit. So let's go ahead and dive right in violently. All lubed up. We're ready to fucking go.
We're
going to make you bitches scream.
The Last Exorcism has revealed that its upcoming sequel's title will be The Beginning of the End, The Last Exorcism 2. And production is currently underway in New Orleans.
See? Horrible title. Horrible title for a sequel. I've always said they should have done a prequel, and they should have called it The Next to the Last Exorcism.
Right.
That would have been creative. Instead,
they're not going to do that.
Who's going to go to the movie theater and be like, okay, I want to see Beginning of the End of Last Exorcism 2. Give me a ticket to that. That's a tongue tie right there. That's like, I mean, even the trailer guy voice. The Beginning of the End. The Last Exorcism 2. I just don't believe it.
I like the fact that it's a sequel, though. I can't wait to see how they explain, like, what happened to, since they brought back the, well, I don't want to say that.
This time, there's more footage.
I'll say it. It doesn't really matter. If you probably seen the movie anyway, and if you haven't, you shouldn't be listening to this right now.
There's more footage this time.
At the end of the first, they bring the Antichrist back to life, for God's sake. Like, what's the sequel going to be? Oh, we stopped it. We murdered the Antichrist. It was fine.
The Antichrist was put in prison.
Yeah. I don't think that happens.
Yeah. I have no idea. Like, The Last Exorcism was surprisingly a pretty good movie, though. I actually kind of enjoyed it.
I can't believe people didn't like that movie, though. That's the thing I never
really
understand.
Yeah, there were people that were split on it, but, you know, I didn't think it was too bad. But, you know, horrible fucking title for the sequel, though. They need to change that. It's stupid. Maniac Cop remake, another stupid idea.
Yep.
Drive and Bronson filmmaker Nicholas Winding Refn, he's going down that long winding road, is said to be closing a deal to produce a prequel slash remake to the 1980s cult horror movie. The original film's writer Larry Cohen and director William Lustig are producing the update, And Cohen says it's going to be more of a sequel than anything else, and he's really excited to come back into this world, especially since Nick Winding Refn is going to be a part of it. Cohen says that the film will maintain the noirish comic book feel of the first three films, but will certainly have a bigger budget. He adds that the project isn't 100% signed off, but it's pretty close. So this is like the $40 million multi, you know, production that was Troll, the remake of Troll, and they were looking to get action figures and all that stuff in Walmart.
Let's be honest here for a second. Can you imagine, seriously, going to a theater now and seeing, like, Maniac Cop on the marquee?
No.
It's not going to happen.
Well, the original Maniac Cop, nobody knows what the fuck it is. Like, who? I mean, the movie, my opinion, the first movie's it's okay. It's not even anything that I would... I've got it in my collection. The odds of me going back and rewatching it, probably less than 1%.
It's not even really like a cult classic to me. Like, I don't even know that many people that think it is a cult classic. It's got a couple of good scenes in it, but even movies that Lustig did like Maniac are a lot better in terms of cult movies than that fucking movie. I never have really understood that.
Yeah, me either. I mean, the thing is, I mean, you've got like a small cult audience for that. I just don't see it. I just don't see it unless, you know, you get some real mainstream people in there and maybe just completely change it. I don't even know why people would be interested in that. It's just,
if they call it anything, it'll be something really stupid, like generic, like Badge of Silence or something like that. It won't be Maniac Cop, I guarantee it.
So, yeah, I mean, seriously, I just can't see it happening, even though the guy that supposedly did Drive is going to be a part of it.
That's neat. I'm really proud of him for taking on Maniac Golf. Okay. Apparently, Brian Fuller's Hannibal has already been ordered to be a series by NBC. The show will use the backstory from Thomas Harris's novel Red Dragon as the basis for the setup, with Dr. Hannibal Lecter, as yet uncast, and Will Graham, played by Hugh Dancy. Hugh Dancy. Working together to solve crimes, the latter unaware of the former's psychopathic tendencies. Apparently, Fuller says that he pitched the show to the network as a 7-season series, which would include stories from various Harris books. The intention is to follow a cable series model on network television with 13-episode seasons. The story will also begin as a procedural following two highly intelligent men solving crimes, but the dynamic will later change once Lecter is revealed to be a serial killer. And then he goes on to say a bunch of shit that nobody cares about. Red Dragon, doodle do 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 little do do. Ooh, Red Dragon. Bow, 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 bow. Out on the street solving murders. Bow, 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 bow. Hannibal Lecter is there. It's all shit about the sounds of lambs. So you better beware. Oh, God.
I'm so sick of Hannibal Lecter, man. Seriously. The only one that was halfway worth the fuck, aside from the original Silence of the Lambs, I've got to say, was probably Hannibal Rising.
Hannibal Rising.
I didn't even really like Hannibal that much.
No, I didn't like Hannibal that much either. I did actually like Red Dragon. Out of all of the sequels that came out of that franchise, that was actually the only one I really liked.
Yeah, it did have Edward Norton in it.
Yeah.
He is awful uppity.
Yeah, he is.
Edward Norton's like, okay, somebody, I think I was talking to Adam Beck or something about Edward Norton, and he was like, Edward Norton, man, he just doesn't take any movie. When he takes a role, he like gets really into it and stuff. And I'm like, well, how in the fuck does somebody get in? I mean, I would think that every actor would get into it.
No.
Like, does he like do background work on like every, like, does, you know, goes to libraries and studies on shit. Oh, I'm sitting here. I'm Edward Norton. I'm a pretty big deal.
You can't sit here and name me one bad Edward Norton movie.
I can name you a few.
Name me two.
Death to Smoochie.
All right.
And The Incredible Hulk, which there I actually watched.
There you go. Oh, honestly,
I could probably name some more, too. I didn't really like Fight Club that much.
Well, that's considered to be a goddamn classic now.
Luckily, I don't give a fuck what people consider shit.
People do consider a lot of shit.
Yeah. So anyway, last bit of news here, and we will take a break after this, Uncle Bill. I'll let you go and get you some warm milk to try to stay awake.
Bye.
House of the Devil director Ty West has been tapped to adapt Bed Bugs, baby.
Bed Bugs.
A novel penned by Ben H. Winters. Tango Pictures acquired Tango, baby. The rights to the book, which was published last fall. The movie, the plot is for rent, two top floors of beautiful, renovated brownstone, 1,300 square feet, two bedroom, two bath, eat in, whatever, all the shit. No broker's fee. Susan and Alex Went have found their dream apartment. Sure, the landlady is a little eccentric, and the elderly handyman drops some cryptic remarks about the basement, but the rent is low, and it's too good to pass up. But it's a big mistake, Uncle Bill. Susan soon discovers their new home is crawling with bedbugs. Or is it? She awakens every morning with fresh bites, but neither Alex nor her daughter, Emma, has a single welt. An exterminator searches the property and turns up nothing. The landlady insists the building is clean. Susan fears she's going mad until a more sinister explanation presents itself. She may literally be confronting the bedbug problem from hell.
Let me get this straight.
Bedbug, baby! Woo!
We're talking about demonic bedbugs. Is that what we're talking about right now?
We're talking about demonic bed bugs that wanted a taste of Susan's ass.
Let me tell you something, buddy. There's only one franchise that can do anything about demonic beds, and that's Death Bed. The bed that eats.
I forgot about Death Bed.
You can't bring bed bugs into an equation. That just messes the whole thing up.
That whole plot reminds me of this show that's on Animal Planet called Infested. Have you ever watched that?
Uh-uh. Is it about head lice?
It's about all kinds of shit that can infest your house. Destroy it. Rats. Snakes, roaches,
hippies,
yeah, Mexicans,
of course, and their damn siestas,
yeah, and their 14 kids,
yeah.
So, Ty West, I mean, he actually, I think this week, The Innkeepers came out, which I was trying to get a copy of.
We never will. I've tried to get that guy to do an interview like 15 times. He ain't gonna do it. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
But I'd like to see it. I might actually just go ahead and buy Innkeepers because I've heard good things about it. And that guy's a great filmmaker, I think. I mean, just buy House of the Devil.
Yeah, but I don't like the fact that he won't do an interview with us. That makes me mad.
Well, folks, he's on Facebook. He's easy to find. Won't you fucking everybody out there message him and be like, hey, Dead Pit is a pretty goddamn fucking big deal, Ty West. We are the fucking innovators. The groundbreakers, the tater chip eating, pork shitting, bitch beating sons of bitches.
What?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh man.
We need to get that down again. I can't remember.
Let me tell you something that
tobacco spitting, pork shitting.
I don't know if you know this or not, but there's some people out there. There's some people that don't appreciate our show or our sense of humor.
Well, they need to lay down and let me shit on them.
There are some celebrities out there that have said to other people that they don't appreciate
I'm talking to you, Patricia Tallman.
That's right.
I love Patricia. I don't care what she says. She's cool by me. If she don't want to do the show, it's fine. It's up to her.
That's true. I respect her opinion. I think it's shitty opinion.
I think you've got an amazing
respect
rack.
Respect her ability to have it.
You've got an amazing rack, or you did, at least. It could be fucking saggy meat socks by now, but I don't know. Back then, they were great.
What the hell is it, though, man? There are just certain celebrities that are so damn, like, uppity about stuff. They don't even
You know what I hate, though? And I'm an animal lover. You know, we both are. We both have. These fucking people. Okay, there are kids in the United States. I know for a fact there's kids that probably don't have anything to eat right now. Okay? They probably ain't got nowhere to sleep. They're probably sleeping on the streets or something, or in a fucking children's home or something. They don't have anybody to take care of them. There's these goddamn people out there. Oh, look at poor fucking Rufus the dog. He's going to fucking die tomorrow if somebody doesn't adopt him.
Well, I actually had this thought recently.
And all that's bullshit, too, by the way.
actually had this thought recently, because I've been going around and doing like tours and stuff of the areas around here that were damaged by tornadoes or destroyed by tornadoes. And like,
yeah.
I had just got done doing that one week. This was last weekend actually, and came home and I was on Facebook, and then there's all those people that post like those dog pictures and stuff. And it has the opposite effect on me. Like after I've gone to like somebody's house that's been completely destroyed, and like when I see shit like that, I'm just like, man, you need to get a new fucking like cause, because that kind of shit, there are enough tree hugging fucking stupid ass causes like that.
All these people too, I've noticed, they have no fucking clue. Like they're in fucking like, you know, Beverly Hills or, you know, somewhere in New York, where they're like, there's tall buildings, skyscrapers everywhere. Dude, there's more important fucking things in life than fucking, I mean, look, I would never ever want any animal or dog or cat or anything to die. But the truth is like, I know it's a, you know, everybody always says it, you gotta watch out for your own.
Right.
I mean, you're part of the human race, motherfuckers. Start acting like it.
I don't know. I just think that it's like, the funny thing is, you never hear those people that post those things when they're talking about people. Like they always only want to talk about dogs and cats and stuff. Like how jaded do you have to be to the human race that's the thing that you like spend all of your time talking about?
Yeah, I mean the thing is like there's diseases too. I mean there's fucking, you know, people want to do benefits for fucking cancer research or something like that.
Right.
That's something that fucking matters, man. I mean, seriously. Or even, look, even if you want to do the animal thing, why don't you, talk about, like old Bob Barker used to do, spay and neuter you fucking, right, so they can't fucking make more.
It's just the priorities are fucked up. That's what gets me. It's like, I don't know if it's just because they don't know people that are actually in need, or if they're just not, if they just don't post about that, and that's like something that they have a cause about. I don't know what it is, but to me, like if your priorities are animals instead of people, then that's fucked up. It just is. Like there's no getting around that.
Yeah. Especially like, I mean, seriously, like people bitching like PETA, motherfucker. You can't be a member of PETA if you fucking like eat steak. Mm. Like, no, you're not one of us. You eat animals. I'll tell you what I'd love to do. It's be fucking, I'd love to do this and film it. That, whoever that cunt is that runs PETA.
I don't know.
Force feed her a fucking T-bone steak. That would be the best thing ever. Here you go, you fucking uppity bitch. Anyway.
I think that, I hate that kind of stuff so much that I'd almost eat like a steak wrapped in bacon and covered in like chicken just to prove a point at this point.
Yeah. You know what I'd do, buddy? I'd drink a fucking gallon of calf's blood, son, just to piss them off. Look here, motherfucker. God. Baby calf.
That is
blood.
Hardcore, I gotta say. But anyway.
Fuck PETA, basically, is what we're saying. And we should actually make just a separate video and put this up on Facebook.
Yeah, that would really piss a lot of people off, I'm sure.
I think we're gonna do it. I'll just take his audio and make.
What? Seriously? Like, if I have to see one more picture of a fucking dog that looks like it got in a fight with Buster Douglas, I'm going to kill myself on that stupid shit. Like, people are always posting that up there where they're like, adopt Fluffy or he's going to die or something.
Even worse, like, on the fucking TV, you've got fucking Sarah McLachlan's fucking uppity bullshit.
Yeah, I know.
Playing on there, and they show, like, animals that have been abused on there and, like, try to guilt you into fucking sending money.
Right. Because Sally Struthers fucking ruined it for all them kids. There's her fat ass sitting around there eating chicken and stuff. Right.
There's enough help out there. I think there's plenty enough people advocating for animals. So I think that we should lead the Human Advocation Society, Uncle Bill. There we go.
I think that's a good, that's a good idea.
Let's start watching out for our fellow man, aside from, we're going to be talking about a couple of bitches later on.
What is the logical end of that, by the way? Like, eventually, would it get to the point where they're, like, trying to advocate for ticks and fleas?
Yeah. And shit. How dare you stomp that fire ant? How dare you? It's just a little fire ant.
Because technically that fire ant is like a living thing. It's a creature. So, yeah. I mean, what? That's the thing that makes it funny, though, is that they're always getting on to people for those things, yeah. But they pick and choose the fucking animals they want to protect. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's always the cows and the dogs and the cats and all that stuff. But, you know, where's the love for, like, the fucking wildebeest and right. stuff
here's
like that?
Thing.
You're not going
to
see that.
To think about, okay? Here's another one. Do you see, I was watching this on, they've shown this thing called, what the fuck, it was like, Frozen Planet, I think, on Animal Planet, which I actually like watching stuff like that on there. Do wolves run around with fucking, I don't know, penguins?
No.
Do you ever see that?
Not unless they're trying to kill one of them.
Exactly. Okay. They were taken down. They were showing a wolf that was after, they were kind of prowling around for bison.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the guy from Street Fighter 2.
No, that was him, bison.
Oh, okay. You're talking about
that.
It's
like a buffalo. You know,
okay.
A herd of buffalo that was like, you know, I don't know, wherever it was at, in Antarctic or something. And they, you know, together, five or six of them could take down one of those bison, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not one of them. They all have to work together for a fucking common cause. And that's how everything should be. You know, I mean, do you think, honestly, that if you fucking, you know, that they even, okay, I remember seeing the South Park guys feeding bacon to a pig.
Mm-hmm.
It tasted good. That's all they give a shit about. They don't give a fuck where it came from.
Mm-hmm. You talking about animals themselves?
Yeah.
No.
It doesn't fucking matter. It's a form of food. It's one of the major food groups.
I think that the only thing that you should really concern yourself with when it comes to that is if there's a guy like walking up down the street just like smacking beagles in the head with a fucking baseball bat, then you should probably intervene. But if not, then like if it's just like you want to intervene with the chicken processing plants or like places yeah. where cows are slaughtered and stuff,
right.
please just do something else instead.
You
want to like that's so stupid.
Protest
it doesn't,
rodeos and shit.
It doesn't do anything. It's not going to solve anything. It just makes you look insane. It really does.
Yeah, I really think about every one of these people are crazier than dog shit / owl shit.
Yeah, a mixture.
Owl shit. Owl shit owl mixed shit. With dog shit.
What about alf shit?
Alf shit.
You're crazier than owl shit.
We're going to take a break though. Just one last big fuck you to all the animal loving PETA motherfuckers. And basically be like, you know, get yourself a cause that's worth fucking, you know, supporting, I guess.
Fight for something worth a shit, idiots.
Yeah. And Colonel Sanders rules. Dirtbird.com. You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com. Until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe.
Mm-hmm.
The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Offici, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check them out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect. We'll be right back.
forgot that you're listening to deadpit.com. These fuckers are crazy.
Welcome back, folks. Hi. How's everyone doing today?
That was a nice rant there, though.
It was. I enjoyed doing that.
We need to get back to the news, get back on track.
Yeah.
So, apparently Machete Kills, which is the sequel to the film Machete, was a rumor a few weeks ago that Mel Gibson was going to be in this film, and apparently he has reportedly entered into serious discussion for a supporting role in the sequel to Machete. And actually, like, I would completely believe that, because that guy's lost his fucking marbles, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't. For some reason, I just can't see Mel Gibson acting again.
What was the movie he was getting ready to be in? Was it Expendables? Or no, it was Hangover 2. That's what it was.
Oh.
Like, he was in talks to be in Hangover 2, and then Zach Galifianakis, where he's, I think, he was either Jewish or Greek or something that somebody pissed off, or he said something about, he said that if he was in it, he wouldn't do the movie. So.
No Mel Gibson.
No Mel Gibson.
We were talking about this, though, before the show. Like, Mel Gibson is like, I think he just made so much money with Passion of the Christ that he just doesn't give a fuck anymore at all.
No.
Like, he's set. He doesn't really have to act in anything anymore. He can just do what the fuck he wants to.
It's one of those weird transformations, though, when you go back and look at somebody's career,
yeah,
where you could never imagine him, like, in the late 80s when all those Lethal Weapon movies were popular, acting like that.
Yeah.
It's like something happened after
He looks a little off now anyway, though. I mean, his eyes, he just looks crazier and shit.
Yeah, yeah. He's not fire. It's like Charlie Sheen or something. He's gone through the...
You know, and you listen to some of those tapes and stuff that come out, like they were more recently, there was one that came out again. I think he's got some mental problems.
He definitely does. I mean, he's screaming at the top of his lungs in like an insane sounding voice. Yeah. I don't know. I think that once you get to a point, it's almost like you can have too much fame and too much money to where you just like destroys your mind.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, though, about this story, I would be very surprised to see this happen. I mean, I'm not saying that he wouldn't do it. I just don't see him ever acting.
I could see him doing it in a way of trying to get back into, like, you know, like the genre fans and saying, hey, you know, I'm not such a bad guy. Look, I appeared in this little cult movie, you know.
I think part of it is, too, is he's got, definitely got some, like problems with booze and shit.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
That's probably
about
it. a lot to do with it too. It probably sets it off even worse. But anyway, it seems like we've been talking about the Suspiria remake ever since we started doing the show. I mean, all the way back, like at least 2006 or so, we were talking about it. But David Gordon Green, the filmmaker that's involved, he has secured financing for his long gestating remake of Dario Argento's 1977 classic, Crime Scene Pictures, who are also behind the upcoming Gambit remake. What the fuck? Was there ever a Gambit movie to begin with?
It must be a different type of Gambit.
I don't
know. Not the thing I'm thinking of.
To finance the film and start in September. Green adapted the screenplay with Chris Gebert, and this version follows an American exchange student to Europe, where she attends a school that is a front for a sinister organization. Green previously said the film will stick closely to the surreal original.
All right, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Before you read this, this is a pattern I've noticed with all these fucking remakes and all these guys that work on these remakes. They pander to the audience so much that when they say something, it doesn't mean anything. They say something that's like, it tries to cover every base. It tries to like pander to the old fans and like people who haven't seen it. So when you read this, I want you to like pay attention to what he's saying.
Okay. Okay. He says, where the hell was I at here? It's actually very faithful. I'm going to put my own spin on it, but in terms of a pitch, it's going to remain quite faithful to the original.
He says, I'm going to put my own spin on it. I mean, it's going to be something new that I come up with. But it's going to be, remain faithful to the original, which basically means nothing. It doesn't mean anything. Like, they just say that. And every remake that you, anybody that's a director has ever done, it says something like that. Where they say, well, the old fans will love it, and then the new people that don't know it will love it. No, nobody's going to fucking like it. That's the problem.
Well, I mean, we were talking about this on Saturday Nightmares last week. Me and Felcher were on there, and it's like one of those movies, like, it just has Argento all over it, and you just can't imagine anybody else even attempting it, because it's just him. I mean, nobody else made movies like he did. Now, he did say that he got the rights to Goblin's classic score from the film, so probably you're going to have similar music, which is a good thing. But
it might be like the Halloween remake, though, the way they use the original music in that, where they got somebody beating on a bathtub.
Yeah, I know this guy has been fucking, it's been the same guy, I think, that's been involved in this remake for so long. And, I mean, we'll just have to see. They're supposed to start it here in a few months, the filming, so. You know, whatever. I mean, whatever. I'm beyond the point of really giving a fuck about remakes anymore, about even, you know, talking about them, you know, complaining, whatever, because, you know, some of my favorite movies of all time have already been remade, so who gives a shit?
Right. Speaking of one of the best movies of all time, though, Jaws, and we were really excited about this. One of the few Blu-ray releases I've actually been really excited about in a long time. Universal has confirmed that it is digitally remastered and restored a version of Steven Spielberg's classic hit. And it will be on Blu-ray on August the 14th. The film was in its original 2:39:1 original aspect ratio, while the disc contains a newly remastered 7.1 DTS HD master track. There's also a boatload of extras, including an all-new feature-length documentary entitled The Shark Is Still Working, The Impact and Legacy of Jaws, along with a previously released 2-hour making of doc, featurettes, and marketing materials. That freaking documentary alone has been worked on for 10 years, I know.
Yeah, and I'd heard the other documentary, which is only available like maybe on in its full form on the Laserdisc before, I think. Mm. But that was a really good one, too. From what I hear, I mean, they spent years remastering this, like frame by frame. So this should look, you know, just depending on, you know, there's how the studio did it. It should look like it's a brand new movie.
I guarantee it will, yeah.
And Felcher was talking about this as well. Like, from what he said, this movie had never, ever really been remastered like that before. So, you know, throw all of your DVDs and stuff in the trash. This one's going to be pretty amazing, I think.
One of the best movies of all time, really. Not just horror films, just one of the best overall movies.
Well, just it's one of those movies that's just got an amazing, like, just scope feel to it. Like a, you know, and it's just perfect for high def, I think.
I love Jaws. Now, the question is, when are they going to put out Jaws 4 on Blu-ray?
They should put out, like, the whole box set. Make it like a shark fin.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Make it a little raft.
They could. Actually, they've never done that. I mean, Universal owns all the movies, so it wouldn't be that hard to do.
It might come out after that if that does well enough, all of them.
The truth is, though, like, all the other Jaws movies, aside from maybe the second one, are just awful.
Yeah.
Like, so there's not really. And there's the second one's not even that great either.
No, there's no defense for the third or the fourth one. The second one's just a stupid, like, attempt to make money. It really doesn't have anything new in it.
Actually, for our friends over there in the UK, all of our blokes over there, The Second Sight is releasing one of the greatest zombie movies of all time on Blu-ray with original restored soundtrack. It's actually a steelbook edition of Return of the Living Dead. I've seen the artwork and stuff. Really cool. Their version will also include the recent documentary More Brains, A Return of the Living Dead, and all other bonus material, so we'll have to be on the lookout for that.
Oh, my Lord.
It's Return of the Living Dead. Blu-ray steelbook, baby.
I wasn't aware there was a problem with the soundtrack on the Blu-ray of the Return of the Living Dead.
Oh, yeah. I think the right, like the musical rights in the UK, they couldn't use the original sound or some stuff in the original soundtrack.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You learn something new every day, Uncle Bill, especially if you listen to Deadpit.
That's true, and I do listen to Deadpit. So I think that's all the news.
You're part of Deadpit, motherfucker.
I know, that's why I listen to it. I've got no choice.
Something else, though, this weekend, conventions, convention season is upon us. We're right in the heat of it, by God, starting off. Chiller Theater this weekend in New Jersey have a huge fucking guest list. Chillertheater.com, you can check it out. Some of the ones we saw on there, John Astin, Alice Cooper, the Boondock Saints, they're at every fucking show. So go say hey to them, even though the movie's not that good. Linda Blair, Dean Cain. I've always wanted to beat Dean Cain.
I know you have.
Robert Loggia.
We can talk to him about Innocent Blood.
That's right. I'm a big fan of Robert Loggia.
Oh, my God.
Robert Loggia's been in a ton of shit.
But we'll get back to Chiller Theater a little bit later on in the program.
Will we?
Yeah. In particular, one aspect.
Well, I just wanted to let everybody know, though, they will be able to take photos with their celebrities, but you just better bring a big wallet.
Yeah. So, DVD and Blu-ray releases for May the 1st and the 8th. You've got The Wizard of Gore and the Gore Gore Girls Blu-ray, the Mimic 3 film set, the Underworld Awakening Blu-ray, WWE WrestleMania 28 on Blu-ray, Gremlins 2, the new batch on Blu-ray, Mother's Day, the new Mother's Day, not the trauma one on
Blu-ray.
Not
the old one.
Yeah. And 42nd Street Forever, the Blu-ray edition, is actually coming out from Synapse. Along with Madison County, which has a man dressed up like a pig murdering people.
I've got a long dong that can smack you in the jaw.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't know what that has to do with anything, but
wipe out.
Oh, God. Anyway, that's your Blu-rays. Mostly Blu-rays from May the 1st and the 8th.
So, that being said, we're going to take one more break. When we come back, all hell's going to be fucking unleashed.
That's
all I'm going to say.
Oh, my news.
Both of us are kind of tired. We're sick of seeing some of this bullshit that's going on. And we're going to talk about it a little bit. It's Return of the Bitch Pit. After this. Dead Pit.
Once you know its secret, nothing can protect you from Suspiria.
She must die. There's a murderer!
Suspiria, the most terrifying film you've ever heard. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
Well. How's everybody doing out there? Y'all doing okay? Y'all ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Is everybody out there ready?
This is something we haven't done in a hell of a long time, I'll say that. And for this, we really got to cover a lot of different bases here. I mean, this is the state of the genre address, which is kind of like the State of the Union address, except better and more entertaining.
Well, the state of the genre is kind of like the state of the country is in right now.
Right.
Not that good.
It's basically the state of horror films today in all aspects, like movies, TV, the convention scene, just everything that we
the convention scene, that's a good way to start.
Yeah, that is a good way to start. because we go to a lot of conventions, and I think at this point we've been to 19 conventions on the next one we go to. So, you know, if anybody is qualified other than people that actually do conventions, and we've done a lot of them too, like on a regular basis to talk about the convention scene, it's probably us.
Well, and we talk to a lot of people that go to the conventions as well, and they give us a lot of feedback on the stuff that goes on. And we've had Sean Clark on the show, gave us a lot of background on why things are the way they are.
And some of it's understandable, and some of it I still think isn't.
Yeah, some of it's...
And one of those things...
No, and the thing is, and I'm going to be honest, and I know some people may attend these shows as celebrities or whatever. You're not celebrities, folks. None of you motherfuckers are celebrities. I'm sorry. It's just not the case. John Carpenter, okay, I love John Carpenter, one of the best filmmakers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
He could walk in McDonald's anywhere in the country and nobody'd know who the fuck he was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When I'm thinking celebrity, I'm thinking somebody's going to come up to you. You're not going to be able to live in peace. Somebody's going to be following you everywhere. That's a celebrity.
So what are these people?
We're talking about
like
people.
What are they?
Sean was saying, like, they have egos, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we're here to basically take you down from your high horse. Because the thing is, these fans that go to these shows come from all around the country, a lot of them. I mean, we know a guy comes to Kentucky shows, fucking lives in Iowa, you know. So, pretty much all of your diehard fans are coming all this way, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles to basically make you feel better about yourself, pretty much. You know,
mm-hmm.
They're fans of your movies, and hey, a lot of the times the movies are great. You had a great performance, okay? That doesn't entitle you to be a greedy fucking asshole. 25, 30, 40 fucking dollars. And again, you got bitches out there wanting to bank more money off these people for a fucking photograph with these people after you've already spent 30 or 40, whatever, multiple, if you get multiple autographs, sometimes $80 or $90 to get something signed, you know.
Stupid fucking scavenger, vulture-ish kind of people that want to do this kind of thing. In my opinion, they are. And I preface everything I'm getting ready to say by the state that this is all my opinion.
Right.
None of this is substantiated anywhere. It's just my own opinion. Because, you know, we have almost been sued several times now, so we should probably say that.
Well, I'm not naming anybody by name. But, I mean, a lot of you people know who these fuckers are, you know.
So, yeah.
They're people that they've been at conventions. They know how they work, a lot like us, you know. And they're taking advantage and not really offering. I mean, I don't know. I don't think they're offering a product that's worth a fuck.
Well,
in my opinion.
Okay. I'm going to piggyback off of something that I was telling you that I recently read an article that Tiffany Shepis wrote about the convention scene. And she wrote it for, I believe it was Fangoria, actually. And by the way, Tiffany Shepis is one of those rare people that you ever run into that actually is really, really smoking hot and actually has a really good writer and intelligent and has a sense of humor.
And actually seems to fucking give a shit.
Yeah, and does seem that. So it's like a weird combination of things that you rarely ever see. But anyway, one of the things that her article was about was how used to be when she first started doing conventions, there was two. Chiller and Fangoria. And that was it. Like, those were the only two that were around. And now, there's one almost probably within 100 miles of anywhere you would be, I would say. And there's one
aside from us.
There's one every week. You know.
Yeah, pretty much every week or sometimes two or three a week.
Yeah, because now you got Monster Mania, you got freaking Chiller, you got Fright Night, you got Horror Hound, you got, what's the one in Florida, Spooky Empire, you got, I mean, all of them like branched up out of nowhere, Scarefest in Lexington. So, but what's happened is, there's been so many of them, and so many people like have come out of the woodwork to do them now, it's become such a franchise business that like, it really has done something to the quality of the shows and, like, the experience of going to those shows. Because you've got, I don't want to say everybody, because you've got some people that genuinely seem to care about what fans think and like want to like talk to them. Like John Amplis is one of them, and Lori Cardill is one of them, and Adrian King's one of them. There are several notable celebrities I can think of that actually seem to give a shit.
And kind of like, you know, want to make sure that you have a good time.
Right. That seem
and
to care.
Like, you know. And Dick Wind was actually another guy that was like that when I met. I mean, just thinking of some people that I met recently, it was like, I'll take another photo, man. Make sure that's cool with you and everything. You know, yeah. Make sure you like it and all that. Which is fine. But then, I'm going to go ahead and fucking say it. Because I know the type of people you're fucking talking about. And we had him on the show. He was a nice guy. Should I say the name?
I don't even know who you're talking about.
Michael Baldwin.
Oh, yeah.
It's been said before. People know. You know, going around to the other celebrities, and they're like, oh, man, you should charge more. You've
allegedly,
done this or that.
Allegedly. We don't know if he did that or not. We were told that
he did. Was told that he did that. Oh, you should. Your autograph's definitely worth more. It, seriously? Really? Michael Baldwin, man? I mean, you're known for one fucking movie. That's it. It's a great fucking movie. You did a okay job in it. But it's one fucking movie. And you're charging more than fucking, like, everybody else is in that room.
And here's where the problem comes in when stuff like that happens. It has a snowball effect. Like, once somebody starts charging $25, then everybody starts charging $25. And then once somebody bumps it up to $30. From a fan perspective, from somebody that just goes around and buys, like, stuff from these conventions and buys autographs, it's ludicrous and it's stupid. And what makes it even worse is, it's not bad enough that you've got a large portion of celebrities, too, now, that are burnt out on doing these shows and that just do them to supplement their income. And you can tell who those people are when you talk to them. Like, within 5 minutes of trying to talk to them, you can tell, like, that they do not give a shit about what you're trying to say or, like, what you want, you know, or anything like that. They just want you to move and get your shit and get out of line. But what makes it even worse is not the celebrities now. It's like the other stupid, like, carnival barker kind of people that try to take advantage of everybody now by these stupid fucking photo ops. And they're infested, like, all of these conventions now, with maybe the exception of one, are doing these stupid-ass photo ops. And originally, I remember people saying, you know, some people even, like Nathan had said in the past, too, if it's a group of people, like, if it's a reunion of people, then it's understandable. But that's not what they're doing, man. Like, that's not, and if you think I'm kidding, go over and, like, look at some conventions they're doing.
Look on Chiller Theater. I mean, the people we're talking about is on there, pretty much, because.
Now, keep in mind, I don't know if Chiller's doing anything where they're letting people take photographs.
Yeah, but the thing
besides
is, the way I look at it like that is, these celebrities, I just know how they are, man. And they're like, oh, if I can make more money, I'm not going to let anybody take a photo with me, you know?
Yeah.
So that option should not be available, in my opinion, because I know how they are. I mean, not everybody's like that, but Michael Baldwin, okay? Do you think that if the option was there for him that he would fucking let people take photos for free?
No.
I highly doubt it. And I know there are more people like him.
And there are people that it's like a business to, like Elvira is one I can think of. Man, like,
yeah, she didn't.
It's just a fucking business. I guarantee it. Like, because it's like an assembly line and you go in and you hurry and you get whatever, you get it signed and you, later on you get another picture for $25 or whatever. It's so informal and so pointless that it's
I mean, they move you along like, oh, how are you? Take a photo. Later. Thanks for $40. Yeah. That's it. I mean, what memories are you getting from that at all? Like, I mean, that's what I'm...
You know, the memories I get now are bad memories. That's the problem. Like, all the memories that I've made in, like, the last couple of shows that we've gone to that have to do with celebrities, mind you, or at least a large portion of them, have been kind of shitty. They've been just, like, rushed, kind of like money. And then at the end of the day, I feel bad that I spent 60 or 80 bucks on this stupid shit that's never going to be worth $20 a signature, by the way.
Right.
Because you got people that sign, they're signing shit every week. Like, what is it ever going to be worth?
I don't know, man. Tom Savini's autograph's going to be really worth.
Oh, that'll, yeah. You'll never find that in like 10 years.
The thing is, though, and this is what I think while we're doing this, is there's nobody out there really looking out for the fans. at these shows, it doesn't seem like. I mean, these are supposed to be shows. And I remember, like, still, man, I still think one of the best shows we ever went to was the first fucking one.
Yeah.
Like, I still have great memories of that show.
It was a good show.
Because, okay.
That was before it got crazy and stupid.
Yeah, I mean, you had your autograph stuff. But remember, look at, like, they had screenings going all the time of not just shitty independent movies. They had, like, stuff like classic movies and stuff you could go watch.
And people seem like be there, too, to not just get your money. They seem to actually want to, like, promote their films or, like, talk with you about their stuff. And now that just doesn't happen. Now they just want, like, your money. That's it. Like, they don't care about any of that other stuff.
Yeah, because it seems like, you know, we were talking to, you know, and I know we were both nervous because we'd never been to the show before or anything like that. Like, a lot of these people were just, like, cool and, like, you know, talkative, and it wasn't, like, you know, herding cattle and shit.
Yeah.
You know, hurry up. All right. Yep. There you go. See you. Bye. Give me money. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
Do you think maybe that somewhere along the way that one of the things that happened was, I think that show, when I look back at that show, Anchor Bay had a booth there. They were promoting all their stuff. All the celebrities that were there had something or another that they wanted to shill or that they wanted to promote because the Day of the Dead DVD was just coming out. That's what all those people were doing there and all that stuff. I think that those conventions used to be much more about, that's a place where we can all get together and we can, like, promote stuff that's coming out within the horror field to these fans, like, you know, almost like a business trip or something like that, but not, it wasn't a business about just making money. And then somewhere along the way, it became its own business. Like, the convention thing became its own way for these people to make a living, almost.
Yeah, I kind of agree, because, like, anymore, I mean, nothing against independent filmmakers or anything. Like, if it's your desire to make a film, to make an entertaining film, go out and fucking make films. Don't go to these goddamn conventions. Or at least just enter the films in convention. I'm like, I know independent films, even at that show, was a big thing. But it was like, hey, come and check our movie out or something like that. It wasn't these fucking people, nobody knows who they are. And they're selling 8x10 photos. Nobody's gonna fucking buy them. Really? You know, and I think these shows are just polluted by that shit now. And it seemed like more of a legitimate thing back then to where, like, Anchor Bay was sponsoring, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And they were probably sponsoring some of these guests to come in to promote this new release, you know, the DVD release, or they had the upcoming box set of Dawn of the Dead coming out that year and stuff, too. And, you know, it was, and I remember they had, like, freebies and stuff. They had a lot of freebies at these shows. And even Anchor Bay at the time, like, I remember the Whorehound show we went to, they were giving away DVDs and stuff, trivia and all this, you know. You don't have any giveaways anymore. It's like, you don't have any reason to go to these shows and have fun unless you bring a fucking shitload of money to spend.
Yeah, you pay to get in, you pay to get the autograph, you pay for the merchandise that's in there, now you're paying for a photograph.
Yeah.
You're just supporting a bunch of greedy motherfuckers, and it's not just celebrities, it's agents and promoters. You're supporting the fuck out of a bunch of greed.
Yeah. So basically, what I'm asking you guys to do, if you see somebody, this is what I do, if you see somebody that's like, you know, if you want a photo, that's more money. You can't have a photo if you buy an autograph. Don't get anything from them. Right. That's what I do.
I think that's a good idea, actually, from now on. If I see anybody that has a photo op, I ain't giving you a fucking dime. How's that?
Well, if they don't let you have a photo for free with them when you get the... That's what I'm saying.
I imagine if they have a photo, they probably won't anyway.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. But if we all do that, and honestly, do not pay for fucking photo op. Just don't do it at all.
No, I did that one time, and I actually regret even doing that, and that was with Carpenter.
Right.
I wish that I could take that back.
Because it's like, seriously, I mean, it's a fucking waste of money. I mean, really, it is. It's a total waste of money. And I know Bruce Campbell's going to be doing that, like the photo op thing at Fright Night. And the bottom line is, when Burn Notice is over, Bruce Campbell's going to be doing a fuck ton of these shows again.
I guarantee it.
Okay.
Burn Notice is almost up.
Burn Notice will be over soon.
Yeah.
This guy he's known for one series, basically. You know, I like Bruce Campbell, but bottom line is he's not a big celebrity. He's just not.
No.
In our circle, in the convention circle, yeah. But he's not, it's just, fuck it.
People bend over backwards to kiss these people's asses at these conventions, and they're not even anything, that's the part that I get confused about. Like, if any of these people walked into a Hollywood studio right now, nobody would give a fuck. They'd be like a background player, right, an extra or something. They wouldn't even be anything.
When you've got people like the fucking cunt Linda Blair, basically, who's nice to us, by the way. I mean, she was nice to us. We did get free autographs and shit. And there's another person, too. Like, I, when I saw this, I was like, what the fuck? Diamond Dallas Page. Okay, Linda Blair's promoting her fucking dog foundation shit. Has right. It everywhere. Diamond Dallas Page is promoting his fucking yoga shit. And I saw one of, I think it was Justin, bought an 8x10 from Diamond Dallas Page, and he signed it, "Don't forget your yoga," or something like that, or your whatever it was called, YRG or something like that. I'd be like, dude, seriously, I would have not paid for that at all.
Yeah.
If he signed it like that. It's stupid.
Yeah.
So you've got people promoting their stupid little side projects and shit.
Here's the thing. Keep things in perspective when you go to these shows. These are not big stars, even though people might fall over for them. There's a bunch of stupid, like, fanboys and groupies and things like that. I don't even like the word fanboys, but there are a lot of them that, like, just obsess about some of these people.
Right.
So keep things in perspective. Don't pay for photo ops. Just don't.
Yeah.
Just fucking do not do that. It's a stupid idea, and it's like killing all
this
stuff.
I will always call out the photo op shit, too, because now it's to the point where you've got people with websites like celebrityphotoops.com or something like that, or whatever it is. Ahead of time, they have a list of the pricing. They got fucking Ted White on there for $25. Really? Do they think fucking anybody's going to pay Ted White $25 to get a photo with his old fucking ass?
I got Ted White's photograph for free.
Yeah.
Back before all this ignorance started.
Well, who needs... Yeah, but they're thinking, yeah, you got the photo for free, but now you can have it with Ted White in this nice, beautiful backdrop.
Yeah, I can only imagine what the backdrop would be, too.
Look like your fucking high school photo or something.
Oh, look how nice this is. So
anyway.
That, to me, that's one part of the state of the genre dress. That's the convention part of it. And the convention part of it has gone, in my opinion, steadily downhill for about 5 years now. And there's people that want to claim that it hasn't and that that it's just as great as it ever was or whatever. But those people are the people that are usually like profiting off this stupid shit that these people are selling, too.
That's true. And basically, the convention thing, too, you're seeing the same people at every one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, there might be a couple of differences every once in a while. Like,
I could throw a fucking rock and hit Kim Forey in the head with it right now. I guarantee it. He's somewhere at a convention.
Bill Moseley and Sid Haig and... You know, Danielle, how many fucking shows have we seen Danielle Harris at? And Kane Hodder. Fucking Kane Hodder's in every goddamn show we've ever been to, I think.
Isn't it about, haven't we done enough with these people? Haven't they been to enough of these shows by this point? Have you not met them? Like, how many times can you meet them?
I would think by now they'd be sick to death even going to them, even if they did get paid pretty well.
Well, money is the, yeah.
And there's always the little leeches doing the photo ops and every fucking else. Other shit.
Anyway.
Pretty soon they'll be fucking charged for handshakes. Shit.
That's the next step. It really has to be.
You want a hug from Daniel Harris, that'd be $55 for a hug.
I can only imagine what they'll come up with to charge for next.
Yeah.
They'll raffle off a date with somebody. I'll bet that's coming next. Some shit like that.
Fuck.
Anyway, let's switch topics a little bit and go to film, and firstly, like, theatrical film.
Right.
And what state that's in right now.
Yeah, I mean, for the summer, there is a few titles coming out. I guess the first one we could mention on here, Dark Shadows, which comes out here in a couple of weeks, actually, on May 11th. There's a big uproar when Dark Shadows, like the trailer for that came out, you know, the remake. It's the Tim Burton and Johnny Depp one. And We had actually heard through a couple of sources that that trailer is not exactly what the movie's going to be like. They're trying to kind of like confuse you a little bit. So I don't know if it's going to just have a few comedic elements to it, but I'd heard that it is going to be more faithful to the actual show.
Well, I don't know who cut that trailer, but that's one of the most misleading things ever, if that's true. It looks like the damn Addams Family movie.
Well, the thing is, I guess they want to market it so more people will go to see it or something. I don't know.
Must be targeting the mentally retarded audience then.
Targeting the Addams Family audience.
We're going to go see that movie because one way or the other, it's either going to be a train wreck or something interesting, so we have to go watch it.
Michelle Pfeiffer's in it too, and I've always had a kind of a thing for her.
And there are very few theatrical horror movies coming out, so you really got to do what you can.
You know, throughout May and June, it's kind of steady. I mean, the Dark Shadows one is, I think both of us kind of watch the show off and on, so it'll be interesting to see like the take on it. And the odd thing is they did make Dark Shadows movies before, too, but I don't think those ever came out on DVD or anything for some reason.
I don't think they did either, but I have watched the one, House of Dark Shadows, on VHS. That's an awesome fucking movie, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, that really is. Like, it's not a well-known movie unless you're like a Dark Shadows fan, but it could be a standalone film, too. But the other one, though, that is on here that I am actually really looking forward to for completely different reasons is Piranha 3DD.
Yeah.
I really like the first Piranha remake.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with those movies is you kind of know exactly what you're going to get going in, so it can't really disappoint that much.
No. It's just stupid, like, cheesy kind of fun.
Yeah, and if you can't have fun with a movie like this, like, odds are I'm probably not going to like you.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, this is just a throwback to the stupid 80s, you know, tongue-in-cheek horror movies, pretty much. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't like this shit.
I don't either, but there's some people that don't. There's some people that even in the stupidest and silliest of films will find something to hate about them. You know, like they're not stupid enough or they're not making any kind of commentary on anything or they're not satirical enough. It's just...
Right.
I don't even think... Some of these movies aren't trying to make any messages. Are they really not?
Well, I don't think all films actually have to do that either.
No.
Unlike some people.
But...
They don't have to be confusing where you're like, oh, I need to watch this again. Oh, my God.
Somebody put in Magnolia for the 15th time.
Let's watch Magnolia again. Come on. But, yeah, this movie has Ving Rhames and Gary Busey in it, which...
Fuck yeah.
I mean, that's a cast enough for you right there. The only thing that's odd is, I think this is John Gulliker's very first theatrical movie, if it actually comes to theaters.
Yeah, that's Clue's boy. Clue Gulliker's son.
But the plot in that one says there's something in the water, again. And this time no one's safe from the flesh-eating fish as they sink their razor-sharp teeth into the visitors of the big summer attraction, the Big Wet Water Park.
Gonna get wet, bitch. Gonna get wet. Spank you with my dick. Let's get wet tonight. Gonna knock you into 1985 with my dick. Real quick.
There you go.
Yeah. It's a classic right there. Anyway, moving on a little bit, though. A film that appears to be a prequel or a remake of the Alien franchise, anyway. Prometheus premieres June the 8th.
Yeah, a lot of people are like really, really looking forward to this because it was Ridley Scott. It's his return to the sci-fi genre. He hasn't done a science fiction film in like decades, I don't think, has he?
No, I don't think he has.
Yeah.
Did he direct Collateral, that movie with Tom Cruise? Am I crazy or was that somebody else?
I think it might have been his son.
What was the last movie he directed before this?
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, he's made a string of really shitty movies. Like, you know, I know that. Like, last couple.
I'm pretty sure Collateral was his son. Or no, wait. Wasn't Collateral...
Was it Michael Mann?
Yeah, I think it was Michael Mann.
Well, he made some movie that was... The last two or three movies he made have been...
He did Troy.
Awful. Yeah.
He's in a big kick of doing, like, the fucking, like, 16th century bullshit for a while.
So, Yeah, Prometheus, I think, if you're a sci-fi fan and a fan of the original Alien, you'll probably love that movie. I am, but I'm not like a uber fan.
I think that it's got a real danger of being awful, though, because, like, Ridley Scott, man, I mean...
He makes too many epics. He's like the new Stanley Kubrick or something. It's like, you run the risk of boring the shit out of people.
All of his movies have to be fucking, like, 3.5 hours long now, it seems like. And it's like, you know... I mean, I liked his stuff in the early days, and even on, like, I didn't think Gladiator was that bad, but anything after that, I don't know. Just not a big fan of.
Oh, so what else?
I think it really says something. He hasn't done a movie that's been worth a shit, and, well, Gladiator was, what, in 2000? And that's, a lot of people don't even consider that good. That's been, what, 12 years?
Yeah.
So.
And then you got Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Yeah, there's not much to say about that. Like,
I think the title says it all, doesn't it?
I'm kind of shocked that they're actually coming out with this in theaters.
Me too.
It's just such a stupid, it's stupid.
We saw the preview for it. It didn't look good.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't understand, like, you know, who it really appeals to. I mean, it's fucking Abraham Lincoln.
It appeals to, vampire history buffs, I guess.
It doesn't. The thing is, though, is it's like it doesn't seem like it would appeal to the Twilight crowd, and that would be the one that you would think that you would want to. You know, something I'm shocked that they haven't tried to remake yet is The Lost Boys.
That's true.
Like, just because that whole concept would be like great now. You know, just make them a little gay.
Can you imagine how shitty those teens would be? Like, oh,
they would all
God.
Have the skin tight black.
Oh, fuck. Like,
spandex shit on or whatever.
Fucking, oh. Like, Corey Haim would be listening to Avril Lavigne. It'd be awful. Yeah. Or the Corey Haim role. Corey Haim doesn't listen to anything.
Corey Haim can't listen to much anymore, unfortunately. No. So, the one that I'm really fucking looking forward to, just because this will tell me if Rob Zombie's ever going to be capable of doing anything worth a shit ever again, and it comes out in September, they don't have a firm date on it yet, is Lords of Salem, which is probably the movie that I'm looking forward to more than anything else the rest of the year. Just because
it's the most promising idea he's had since The Devil's Rejects, by far.
Yeah, and it has... familiar casts. I mean, you got Michael Berryman, Sherry Moon Zombie, Sid Haig, Dee Wallace, Ken Foree. All these people have worked with him before. And he's also fucking bringing back Christopher Knight from the Brady Bunch. He's going to be in
it.
And Meg Foster, Billy Drago, Udo Kier, who we all remember from 2 Minutes of Suspiria. Dee Wallace, Clint Howard, you know. So, you know, he's bringing back the convention all-stars again for this movie. We'll just have to wait and see. I think that, you know, from what I've seen or heard or whatever, it sounds like it could be pretty good. We'll just have to wait and see with that one. I mean, it's been like, it's hard to believe though. It's been like 3 years since he's had a movie out.
Yeah. It could be horrible though. I don't know about him anymore. It's got the most potential, though, out of all the ones we mentioned.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot left after, I mean, this one, like, as far as in-depth discussion. I think, you know, in a way, I think it's good that Hollywood's not really releasing a whole lot of horror. But at the same time, like, the stuff they are releasing, like, I mean, look at all the stuff that we've mentioned on here. Aside from Lords of Salem and Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, there's not really anything that's like just something that's like a shot in the dark where they're like, oh, well, let's try something new.
Right.
And let's see how it'll work.
Well, either that or we don't know about it. Like, it might just come out of the blue like those fucking Paranormal Activity movies or something.
Yeah.
But, so that's the movies that are coming out. The state of theatrical, it's almost like there's no direction to it. Like, at this point, everything is really kind of fizzled out right now. Like, the torture porn's really kind of fizzled out. The home video recorded stuff's fizzled out. There's no real theme to anything. It's just people are...
Well, I think, though, like, I don't know about the home video recording thing fizzling out, because Paranormal Activity 3 made more money than any of the other Paranormal Activity movies.
Yeah,
so I think that's just that franchise, really. Well, I think that that franchise is still going strong, and they're supposed to be having the fourth one at some point later this year. Nobody's got a plot on it or anything right now, so, I mean, we can't really talk about it in great detail, but I'm sure that it'll be coming out, you know, shortly before Halloween this year.
I was hoping that something would come along and move us into another direction, like another something. But then the problem with that is the minute that something moves in another direction, you got 100 films that come out and copy exactly what that does, and then you have to sit through all those films. Like, unfortunately, when Hostel came out, then you had to sit through Captivity.
Yeah. But also what that does is, though, is even if it's not the same subgenre, it seems like once there's a big like hit in the horror genre, the studios are more open to releasing.
That's true, and there has, you know, a lot of the movies that recently that they thought were going to be really big hits, especially remakes, haven't done shit.
Yeah,
and the horror film Fright Night was a prime example of that.
Yeah, I just think that the thing about that movie is it just nothing looked good about it at all. I mean, the previews just looked stupid.
Yeah.
And it didn't really have that name behind it. Like, you know, there's not really, I don't know if there is a franchise left that the name alone is going to make the studio money. I don't think there is. Unless they, you know, do another Halloween or do another Friday the 13th or something like that.
Saw. You think Saw would make money?
Saw is done, man. I mean, I really do. Because, I mean, a lot of people compare it to Friday the 13th and the, you know, the following it had. But Friday the 13th, at least as long as I can remember, was always like a beloved franchise among horror fans and stuff. Now, I don't think to a lot of fans, and even in theaters, or even in stores, you can't give the fucking Saw movies away now. I mean, look at how cheap they are everywhere,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think that that's the that's just, you know, something that should tell you that it's not really, over the years, the franchise has not really become that, you know, I think people watch the movie one time and that's it for them. I mean, I know that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I never ever want to see those movies again, like any of them, really. Yeah.
I couldn't imagine having to go through and watch all those fucking movies again, or even one of them again. I mean, I can honestly say that I've never ever watched any of those Saw movies more than one time.
I may have watched the first one more than once, but I don't think I watched any of the other
ones.
Okay, so the state of theatrical horseshit. Now, what about independent?
Well, the thing is, though, it's not. I think that overnight it could almost be changed, though, is the thing. Like, it's just that one movie that needs to come along that can change the entire game. And it could be any time. I mean, you know.
The weird thing is, though, like that, you could say the same thing for the music scene, but that hadn't happened.
I couldn't say, no, I couldn't.
That hadn't happened in fucking years.
I don't think there's no saving the music scene.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's any saving the horror scene at this point, really, like, or fucking films in general. Now, independent films are interesting because every now and then a film will come out that will still catch some sort of buzz, and the mainstream labels will, like, the mainstream magazines and stuff will pick it up. Like, Father's Day was one of them that Rue Morgue did a cover story on. That was a trauma film, I think.
So I quit listening to Rue Morgue.
And, and, oh God, there was another one here. The Divide was another one that got a lot of coverage.
Right, which you still haven't fucking watched it.
Well, I probably never will.
Well, you need to bring it back.
But, like, I mean, there is more opportunity. I don't know, like, how much you want to wade through all these movies, but there's more opportunity in that market than there is.
Well, I mean, that's why I took a chance, and we'll mention The Divide on here, because I don't know if you're ever going to fucking review it. You know, I just got sick and was like, fuck it. It sounds like something that'd be interesting to watch, so I'm just going to fucking watch it. And I ended up enjoying it. I thought it was a really fucking good movie and well acted. And actually had some pretty good, like, a lot of the actors that were in it were just like TV actors and stuff. But they did a really good job. And, you know, luckily Michael Biehn wasn't in it that much. But everybody else I thought did pretty good. And it did seem like they had quite a budget for that, too. I mean, I can almost see a movie like that had it had, you know, bigger stars, in the theater because it looked like a really good movie.
You do have some really talented independent filmmakers right now working, but when I say independent filmmaker, I mean like the independent filmmakers I'm talking about are the more seasoned ones. I'm not talking about the ones that just go to these conventions and sell their shit. There's like different levels of filmmakers on this. And it's where you get like a lot of really, really decent stuff. And there are people out there that are making some genuinely terrifying and just completely immoral and just can't un-PC shit ever. Like that Human Centipede 2 movie. The motherfucker that made that, like, clearly had no intention of that ever, like, being anything other than a cult film or anything. And that's the kind of stuff that I think you really need right now.
Yeah, I think the world, like the horror world at least, the people that we know, they're more interested in telling us how great their shit is than actually proving it and showing it, you know. Because, like, you'll listen to this guy and he'll have you hyped up. This is the best goddamn thing you ever see, you know. You'll come all over yourself after you see this movie that's so great. Then you put it in and it's shit.
Yeah,
I mean it's awful, and you hate to be honest, but I think that it's better to just completely like, you know, be brutally honest and tell these people, look, you need to fucking do something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and then if you look around to what the number one movie has been for a long time, the number one movie in America for the last long while now has been a movie that essentially ripped off a fucking Japanese horror film from about 15 years ago. The Hunger Games is Battle Royale.
Right.
It's all it is.
Well, that movie really didn't look like much to me. I have no interest in seeing it.
Well, that is the It movie to go to right now, from what I understand. Well,
I have no interest in ever seeing it.
Well, we've already seen it. And speaking of which, I think the Battle Royale Blu-ray is coming out.
I think it's already out.
Yeah. So.
Which is weird. It took them fucking... whatever, 10, 11 years to actually come out.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Now, one area that I actually think has gotten better, if you can believe that, and like in the horror realm, and you might not agree with me on this, I don't know, has been the TV.
I just don't watch it.
Area of it.
So you'd be the one talking. I don't watch the TV.
Because,
show.
Like, recently, there's the two shows that really kicked it up a notch for me were... The Walking Dead, which everybody watches, and then along came another show that like not that many people watched at first. Then it kind of like got a cult following, which was American Horror Story. Which those two shows to me are like some of the better TV shows that have had a horror theme to them that come out in like years.
I would say Dexter was another one that the popularity's kind of died off a little bit, but I think that was the one that really got the people looking at genre TV shows.
Yeah. And then you got other stuff too, like True Blood, which is still popular, and you have
Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, well, the spinoffs of that too. Yeah, to me, like that's the only area of horror for whatever reason that's not lagging behind like another.
The thing with me though, man, is like the zombie thing. Like, we just need to fucking stay away from zombies. I'm so sick to death of zombies. It's just not fun anymore. You know?
Well, no, it's because it's been done to death now. Like, they've done everything you could possibly ever do.
Yeah. I'm like...
The last movie we watched, do you remember The Dead? Was it just called The Dead? It's like, okay. It's just... I mean, it's a good movie in my opinion. It has some good parts to it, but it's just they took the idea of a zombie movie that, like, Romero would make, and then they transferred it to Africa. And it's like... That's what it's come to now. Like, you heard about there's a movie called Juan of the Dead, which I guarantee you is like exactly the same thing except in Mexico. It's like, now they just take the idea and move it to another country.
Yeah. It's just like, it's lazy, really. I mean, unless you have something new you can bring to it that hasn't been done, which is pretty much impossible.
Right.
Just leave zombies out. Like, do something else, man. I mean, there is all kinds of shit. Like, even if you don't want to be original, of subgenres of horror that haven't been done to death. The Evil Kid movies.
Werewolves or something, shit.
Yeah. Go back to the fucking demonic nuns or something.
I'd love to see a good demonic nun movie again.
I mean, you know, be creative with it. You know, you can do a movie without a big budget about a fucking demonic nun.
Man, look at The Devil Inside. That's one of the shittiest goddamn movies I've ever seen in my life, and it made a fortune. And it was like, I'm sure it was made by somebody that had a very limited idea what the hell they were even doing. But just the concept of the movie, the Exorcist concept, it made a fuck ton of money.
I mean, I would just like to see look, fucking, hey, Troll Hunter, motherfucker. There you go.
Yeah, it's an example of independent.
Somebody doing something that has not been done to death. That's why if somebody approaches me and says, oh, man, look at this fucking zombie movie I've got. I'm never going to look at it. I'm going to fucking throw it away.
You don't want to see Zombies versus Santa Claus?
No.
It's out there. Trust me.
I have no interest. So, our advice, I guess, for the independent filmmakers, you don't even have to be that original, goddammit. I just want you to do something that has not been done 500 million times before. If you're making an independent zombie movie, you can fucking go to hell. That's basically what I'm saying.
Yeah. So.
So the genre, I guess we're going to wrap it up. The state of the genre. I think it's actually improved slightly since the last one that we've done. I don't know. It's been a year or two since we did the last one.
What would you, if you had to grade it like a report card, what would you give it?
I'd probably give it a C-.
That's exactly what I was going to say, actually, oddly enough.
Because there's promise. I think Rob Zombie, he is, as far as mainstream horror goes, at least that I see right now, he is the guy that holds it in the palm of his hands, and we will see what he does. Because let me be honest with you, the Halloween movies that he did, I don't give a fuck what anybody else's opinions are. The bottom line is those movies were awful. Both of those movies were awful.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, there's a cult audience out there that says, oh, man, not Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. That was all. How? How the fuck was that good? I'm being honest. This was 100% honest. Both those movies were fucking terrible. Awful. There's nothing. Nothing good. Especially the second. I thought the second one was even worse.
Yeah, I don't know. They're both awful.
They're both shitty. But House of Thousand Corpses, The Devil's Rejects. I go back to those movies, and I think that if he's got anything in him, we will see it with Lords of Salem. So that'll be the one. That would be the movie to watch out for in September. I think that's going to be, it'll either make or break the genre, I think, for the next year or so. We'll have to see.
So there we go. That's our in-depth analysis of all that.
Yeah. And fuck the photo op people.
Seriously.
Fuck them until they squirt, basically, is what we're saying.
Yeah. No doubt about that.
No doubt. So, we will be back. When we come back, I've got some announcements to make, and we will have review of Wes Craven's The Hills Have Eyes Part 2 on Blu-ray disc. And then we'll call it another couple of weeks, folks. But we will be back. I'm going to go piss again. Man, that water is making me pee.
What the hell wrong with you?
I'm peeing like a fucking retarded
juice?
Monkey over here.
That's a lot of
pee. I'm like hopping up down peeing everywhere. We will be back. We're talking more horror, even though horror is not really worth talking about. On deadpiss.com. Nobody listens to us.
That's a ringing endorsement.
It's 1962. It's Halloween.
I wish that was as weird as you. Thanks.
There's nothing wrong with the town of Willow Point Falls that a powerful imagination can't cure.
The London Bridge crumpled under the monster's huge lizard feet. That's impossible. Or is it?
But this time, it's not make-believe.
No, don't hurt him. It was too dark. I couldn't see his face.
This time, it's serious. Deadly serious.
I'm telling you, that doesn't matter. This case has been making monkeys out of all of us for the past 10 years.
And strange. Very strange. For you have seen a girl
There was a little girl. I saw her. She was killed in the cloakroom.
A girl who wants you to find her killer.
Will you help me?
You have just one hope to solve the mystery.
Sometimes when someone dies violent, they can't rest in peace.
To stop the evil.
Where are you going?
I gotta follow her.
To save your life.
Come here, child.
Open the door. Say your prayers. Lady in White.
So, you think you're untouchable?
Word life. This is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life. This is basic thugonomics. Word life.
Hello, folks, and welcome back.
Hi, we're back on here.
We are back.
If you didn't like that last portion of the show, you can kiss my ass.
You can kiss my grits.
You can kiss my dick hole.
Actually, there'll be a few people that won't like it. But the bottom line is,
those people are...
We've got a history, folks. And a lot of people can say shit about us. We're haters, whatever else. But we're the only motherfuckers that are actually looking out for you fuckers. I don't know why we do it, because sometimes people don't even appreciate it.
We're the Better Business Bureau of Horror. Let me tell you something, though. At the end of the day, when all this is over with, and nobody's really into horror right now anyway, very few people, like the hardcore fans, all these podcasts that are going on, and all these radio shows that are going on, all these magazines that are coming out and shit, at the end of the day, one day, when this is all over with, like when we stop doing a show, people will actually look back and be like, you know what? All those other companies were just filling everybody up with bullshit and promoting the next, like, stupid CGI film movie, whatever. And these guys were talking about all this stuff that was actually true.
Yeah.
So you kiss my ass.
Take that for what you will, folks. But bottom line is, we're going to keep speaking the minds and speaking our minds. And if anybody out there doesn't like it, you'll see it as a convention. You walk up to our fucking face and say something. I dare you. I got a 2x4 behind my table.
It's like Hacksaw Jim Duggan. We'll start a USA chant and beat you to death with it.
Some announcements, folks. We're going to go through. We have some, have one Blu-ray review to discuss.
And it is going to be a doozy.
Yeah. Basically, we've been doing these auctions for a while, and they've mainly consisted of me and you doing them and Sleepy doing them.
Yeah.
But there is a new individual that's had a long history with Dead Pit, by the way. And, is why we, you know, he helps out a lot. A lot of people don't even realize this. All of the DVDs, pretty much, like all the On the Roads and stuff like that, this guy is the guy that actually helped create those DVDs. And he's helped us out a lot over the years. And he's selling off some of his horror stuff. So this Saturday at 10 p.m. on Blog TV, we're going to be going live, and we're going to be helping Axelus out. He's going to be selling some horror memorabilia.
Yeah, we're like UNICEF, though. We're trying to give back. We really are. So, I actually don't mind that, because there are very few people that have actually really tried to help us out, you know, with the actual production of the show, and he's one of them. So, you know, him selling stuff on the channel or whatever is fine with me. And there's a couple of people that I would actually...
Yeah, I mean, we did that hydroponic do it one time.
Yeah.
And that's probably not a good idea. Also, I was going to see what you thought about this. Because I think there has to be an ultimatum if we ever do this again. And this is what I've come up with. In 2 weeks, whenever we do another show, I don't think we have any interviews lined. I don't even know who we could. People want to ask for request interviews. I'm fine with it. I've just kind of run out of people to even think of.
Yeah, I don't even attempt to do it anymore, to be honest. Like, I don't even try to think of people, because...
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of
every time I do, it's like...
You know, I mean, there's the Italian people that can't speak English. Yeah. I mean, you know. something that we haven't done in a while, and I thought we would try it. I've been getting new software for the computer and stuff like that. But here's the kicker. If it's not a success this time, this is...
God, are we trying, going to try to do it fucking live again?
No.
Oh, okay.
Call-ins. If it's not a success this time, meaning if there's nobody calling...
You couldn't have picked a worse time to want to start doing that again.
Why?
Because there's nobody really like has any interest in horror right now.
Well, I'm just saying, we're going to try it this time. If it doesn't work, it's going to be the last time for the rest of the fucking year we're going to try it. What do you think?
Yeah, that's fine. It'll be something different anyway. We haven't done it in a while.
We haven't done it since last year, I don't think, anyway. So
yeah. I mean, I don't care. You know that there'll be this, like, three or four people that'll call.
Well, that's why I'm doing this ultimatum, Uncle Bill. That's what I'm saying. If you people don't call in this time, you will not have another fucking call in the rest of the year. It's just not going to happen. Because it's bullshit for us to set up all this shit if nobody's going to fucking call. So, if we give them 2 weeks ahead of time notice, we'll see how it goes.
So, mark your calendars.
In 2 weeks. What will the day be anyway? I don't even know.
We're going to give you the exact date and time, followed by the exact number to call.
On May the 11th. Or no, that's actually the problem. On May the 10th.
Okay, May the 10th.
May the 10th.
May the 10th. The 10th day of May.
8 p.m.
8 o'clock, Eastern Standard.
8 o'clock. We will be taking your phone calls. It could possibly be the only time. And that means... The people that we don't normally hear from, you need to call us shit. You need to keep calling for an hour. But if you can't, if it doesn't work out this time, it's the last time we're doing it for the rest of the year. That's what I say.
So fuck your noise.
And could possibly, if it doesn't go well at all, it could possibly be the last time we ever do it.
I'd be, you know what, that'd be fine with me. I've been trying to get that done for about 2 years now, I think.
Well, we don't do it normally anyway, but when it's good, it's great though.
Yeah,
I enjoy.
It hasn't been good in a long time. That's the problem. It really hasn't. It's been
well.
Like,
last time was pretty shitty.
It's been the same kind of thing for the last couple of times that we've done.
Same 2 or 3 people.
So anyway, we'll just see what happens. Who knows?
We'll see what happens. We're actually going to be promoting this, so hopefully more people will fucking call in.
So in summation. There's auction by
Action. Auction this Saturday, 10 p.m. on Blog TV, which we do end up having quite a few people at those auctions.
There's always a good crowd, yeah. And also, the call-ins will be back in 2 weeks. And we're giving you the time, we're giving you the number, we're giving you
That's
the
right.
date, everything else.
May the 10th, 8 p.m. Be there, be square.
Right.
That's what I say. Also, we need to promote the fuck out of a couple more things. I'm selling hockey masks now.
Yeah, I noticed that. I think everybody's noticed that.
I've got them everywhere.
Right.
I'm starting to do that a lot.
It's starting to look like fucking Corey Feldman's room in Friday 13th, Part 4.
I don't think he collected Jason masks, though.
No, but you get the idea.
Basically, you can go to, I'm going to put a link on the Dead Pit page. If you go to my Facebook page, you can check all this stuff out. I guarantee the lowest prices, Uncle Bill. Any hockey mask you can get.
He's like the Walmart of hockey mask makers. If you can find the price lower, he'll match
it. I won't do that, though, because you'll find these little glow-in-the-dark fucking hockey masks on eBay for $1.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, usually, like, you know, starting at $60 pretty much. So there you go.
Yep.
And also, our commentaries. We did do a Hatchet commentary, which I think is actually one of the best ones that we ever did.
It goes down as being legendary in a lot of different ways.
And, we've done a ton of them. Holy shit. I mean, we did a Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Nightmare on Elm Street remakes. We did a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Fulci, Beyond.
We did the Beyond one, yeah.
So if you're a fan of the show, check out the commentaries, because all that money goes back in the Dead Pit violently.
So, I think we've hawked just about everything we possibly can.
Yeah, basically give us all your money. Because we're looking out for you.
Also, though, and yeah, this was one of the first times we really had a chance to talk about this, though, in a while. Not a lot of people realize this, speaking of the state of the genre and everything crappy about the genre, but we actually won a Rondo Award.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, like, I don't know if a lot of people know about that, but, like, originally we had thought we'd gotten beaten yet again.
But we won.
But we actually did win.
We did. We might have a special celebration video at some point with an acceptance speech. That should be something we'll do.
So big thanks to the Rondo Awards.
Yeah. And Rajon Rondo especially.
For presenting us with that award.
So, at any rate, that's it. We do have a review to get to, which probably not going to last too long because this movie is like one of those movies when you watch it, you're like, how? Like, what went on?
You want to know the backstory behind, like, how it got made. I know I do. Or, like, what was going through the minds of the people as they were making it. Because, well, anyway, we'll get into it, I guess.
Okay, basically the story of the movie is, it's essentially the same plot with just a few character changes as the first movie. This time, it's a group of BMX cyclists or bikers or whatever you want to call them that get stranded out in the desert, and they're for some reason led by Ruby in the first movie. She changed her name to Rachel or something in this one. I don't know. And it's the same. I mean, basically Pluto is after them. You know, it's the same fucking thing, but it does have, does sound like it's like, got a pinch of Friday the 13th in it because Harry Manfredini does the score.
Yeah, and Harry Manfredini, bless his heart, I love the man, but everything, every score he does has Friday the 13th in it somewhere. It really does.
Well, especially this one. Holy shit. I mean, this is basically, to sum this movie up, you're watching Friday the 13th with bikes in the desert. That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah. Just, and another thing too, man, like some of the worst continuity between the two movies. Like, for one thing, Pluto's fucking dead in the first movie. Like, he has his throat ripped out, and he's back, and he's fine. And somehow or another, like, living out in the desert, he's learned how to ride a BMX bike like a mofo. I don't know how, but
he steals one of the bikes and, like, the chase after.
Plus, in this one, he talks, like, normal. And I don't, it seems like in the first one, like, he was real.
He didn't say a whole lot.
Yeah, he was almost mute. Really, like, dark and menacing, and in this one, he's, like, a real chatty Cathy, so a lot of parts of this movie don't make any fucking sense at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'd heard things like, this movie was filmed years before, and then it was kind of shelved, and it was never completed, and then, like, with Wes Craven's success on Nightmare on Elm Street, the studio that owned it decided to, you know, kind of edit it together shoddily, and because there's things like in the beginning, the Bobby character from the first movie is briefly in it talking to a psychiatrist, and they never ever go back to anything. I mean, he's never ever seen again aside from the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? I mean, why was he, why did they even bring him in there?
Well, the dog should have had a psychiatrist too. Right. The dog was having some flashbacks.
Yeah, everybody always talks about the Beast or whatever, the dog.
And there's another character in it, too, which is Reaper.
Yeah, which is the same guy that played
Mars, maybe?
Yeah,
or
he was like the main villain. I can't remember if it was Mars or Mercury or something.
Yeah.
But he's the guy's brother in this one. Because, of course, Mars died in the original movie. But this is his twin brother, Reaper, who's even meaner.
Yeah, and he also looks like he stepped off the set of Breaking 2 with that big grill thing he's got around his neck. But Kevin Spiritus is, I guess, like the main character in the film, who was the guy from Friday the 13th Part 7. That's what everybody knows him from. And everything about this movie is just awful. Like the casting and the acting and the writing and the everything. Like, there's nothing good in it. Like, we were watching some of the scenes in it. It's so bad, man. Like, you can clearly tell, like, there's one scene where somebody gets jerked off a bike. You can see clearly, like, the cord that jerks them off the bike. There's a scene where somebody gets killed by a rock falling on top of them. you can clearly see the,
it's
like
the styrofoam rock.
It's just bad filmmaking.
Well, the story is like, Wes Craven will not talk about this movie at all. Like, he's kind of disowned it. And he made, like, another movie the same year called Chiller, which is another one that's even worse than this movie, actually.
Does he talk about that? Cause that
I don't think
wrong.
So. I don't know what was he thinking back then. I mean, it was the thing. It's like,
Wes Craven's weird, though, man. He goes from, like, making a fucking... he can make a film like Scream and then goes and makes My Soul to Take. You know what I mean? Within the span of, like, a decade or so. He can make classics, but then it's almost like he goes retarded and makes some of the worst. Like, he made Cursed. Like, in between making...
I think everything he's made in the last 15 years or so has been pretty shitty.
In between making some amazing films, he's made some of the god-awfulest pieces of shit ever.
But what's even more sad is the Blu-ray release of this is actually really good. I mean, for a movie called Hills Have Eyes 2, this has a way better transfer than it ever had the right to have. This has got a way better transfer than the original Hills Have Eyes has on Blu-ray. Unbelievably better, actually.
Yeah, like, you had it playing in there on your TV and stuff, and it kind of makes you mad because this film doesn't deserve to look that good. Like, this film should look like shit. It really should, just to be, like, fair to the content of the movie.
And I was thinking it would look like... I mean, because it's one of those movies that just looks like it's shot, at least when I saw it before. Look, it looked like to me it was shot with, like, those English film cameras that look like shit anyway, like a real soft picture, you know? But they did a great job at cleaning this up, and it does look really freaking good. I'll give them credit there. I mean... the movie is insanely shitty, but as far as the Blu-ray goes, they did do a really good job with the remastering process. I don't know if they just got a hold of a really good print of it or what, but,
it is a horrible film, but I agree with you. Like, the transfer is one of the better ones I've seen on a film that's that old, which is sad.
And cheap. I mean, cheaply made too.
All those films that were amazing and classics that got really horrible transfers, and then this movie is like pristine. Like, The Hills Have Eyes 2 is pristine.
Yeah. We should have asked Michael Berryman. I mean, we did get to do like a brief little video interview with him. I would love to know. Maybe that's a guy we should try to get for an interview. The story behind...
I tried one time.
Behind it. Well, I know that, but I think anymore we could probably do it.
Yeah.
Legitly, kind of. But, I would love to hear his take on this movie. Like, what he, you know, like the time frame when the fuck this was even made. Because I'm thinking it was made, this didn't come out until 85 or so. I'm thinking it was made way before then.
Yeah, it looks like it anyway, just the way it looks.
Yeah. So, Horizon Movies has this out. Kino releasing. You can go to... KinoLorberEDU.com or KinoLorber.com. The features are trailers and still galleries. It's not that expensive of a release. If you're a completist, I would check it out. If you got all the other Hills Have Eyes movies, hey, you got to have this one. I mean, seriously.
You know something, I'm talking to the Kino people. If you're going to release this type of movie, I have an awesome idea for like a sub division of movies, like, you know, like a sub label for the Kino label. You could call it Kino Evil.
That'd be awesome as fuck. Yeah.
You could release movies like that on Kino Evil.
KinoEvil.com. There you go. Register it. So, Wes Craven. Yeah. We probably never interviewed Wes Craven, but if we ever did, I would have to ask him about this.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
And he'd probably be like, I ain't talking about that, dummy.
Fine. No. Shut up.
Shitty mouth.
So that is The Hills Have Eyes Part 2. It's out now on Blu-ray disc. So run, don't walk.
Or you could just, you know, meander about.
Or run away from it. Yeah. One. But that is it. Remember, folks, in 2 weeks, May the 10th, could possibly be the first and only call-in for the entire fucking year. It's up to you. It is
you,
up
the fans,
to you.
Decide. It's like the WWE universe.
If the number is the same, 1-606-658-0185, you can talk to us about any goddamn fucking thing you want. Or maybe by next week we'll come up with a fucking topic as well. Right. So everybody will be have a reason to call in. So until then, I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm Uncle Bill.
And you've been listening to the number one rated, often imitated, never duplicated Ballers and Shock Callers of Horror Talk Radio.
Deadbeard.com.
We're stars.
I wrestle, bitch.
Point down.